Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we okay?
Yes.
Very good. Tell you from here. Okay, can I just borrow the mic for a minute? Just as we were in the prayer meeting, I really felt that God said to me that what I'm going to say is for a couple of people, quite specifically for a couple of people. And God reminded me of the song we sing here, and that God leaves the 99 to get the one. You are that special to God. So that is just listening to what God had just said to me in the prayer meeting before we came in here. So if you are the one, the two, that God really speaks to this morning, then just grab a hold of what God is saying. Amen?
Amen.
Who am I? John, who am I? Who am I?
God's son.
God's son, okay. Who am I?
Husband.
So you may have had an answer in your head. You may have thought, yeah. You may say pastor. You may say Paul. Some of close friends, family would say auntie. Only three, maybe five of you could say dad. I didn't hear what you said. There's only one of you that can say husband. So I'm going to ask you a second question. Who do people say I am? If I ask that, some may say pastor, some may say Paul. Similar answers. But sometimes when you say, who do people say I am, or who's that over there, they will then connect it to character. Oh, I've heard that he's really nice. I've heard he's very approachable. Or alternatively, I heard he's quite nasty. I heard he's, you can't talk to him. I've heard he's like this. Be very careful around him. Will often add it to character. So does what you think about yourself affect who you are? Yeah? Probably. Does what other people think about you affect who you are?
No.
I've gone, yeah, probably. Some are saying no, okay. So does my interaction and my relationship with you differ to how it does with my close friends and family? Yeah, probably. So, I'm sure all you biblical scholars out there know where I'm going with this. So when I say, who do you say I am? I'm having a one-on-one conversation. So when I asked John, who do you say I am? He said, Paul Hunt. He knows me. He knows my name. He knows who I am. When I went around, we got different answers. But people will give a different answer to the relationship that they have with me. Some of you may not know me. And they know that I get up here occasionally. I've got my face on the dartboard over there. And not really know who I am. And that's fine. But when I say, who is he? We're then joining a conversation, a crowd conversation. We are conversing together about somebody else. We're bringing opinions and what we've heard about other people. I don't know if, hands up if any of you have seen the programme, and don't tell me the final, because I haven't seen the final yet, of The Traitors. Yeah. Who's seen The Traitors? I have not seen the final, please do not tell me. Do you know what? I am amazed, and I would encourage you just to watch maybe one or two, even if you don't like it, because it just shows you how humanity can behave. It is incredible how everybody can be like, yes, we're doing this, we're all going this way, and then suddenly flit into something else. It is incredible how humanity behaves. It really is. You've heard of herd mentality, and a crowd grows a crowd, all those kind of phrases that, like, what's all that mean? Like, you hear some of them talk about something, and then when it gets to what they call the round table, they change their mind. There's something else. What is going on? Have you ever been in a crowd or gone to a crowd and you've gone up to a crowd and, what's going on here? And somebody said, hey, I've got a clue, but I saw that there were crowds, so I thought I'd join in and have a look. Like, why do we do these things? Why does humanity, why do we do these things? There's no wonder that God refers to us as sheep so often. Isn't it? God refers to us as sheep so often. Do you know what I want to bring out this morning? Is there is only you that can give an account of your life before God. Your relationship with God is between you and God alone. You will answer for the decisions, for the things that you do and say before God. You will not be able to say, yeah, but this and this, and yeah, but they did that. I don't think God will listen to you. Scripture says we will all give an account of our lives when we face God on judgment. Let's get into Scripture. You've got your Bibles. Matthew chapter 16, it will come up on the screen if you've not brought your Bible with you, but you should always have your Bible with you. Matthew 16 from verse 5. When they went across the lake, the disciples forgot to take bread. Be careful, Jesus said to them. Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. They discussed this among themselves and said, it's because we didn't bring any bread. Aware of their discussions, Jesus asked, you of little faith, why are you talking amongst yourselves about having no bread? Do you still not understand? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000 and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000 and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you don't understand that I was not talking to you about bread? Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Then they understand that he was not telling them to guard against the yeast used in bread, but against the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees. We're just going to pause there a minute. Do you know, in Scripture, if any of you have read, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they looked the part. They had all the robes on. They looked like they knew what they were doing. And everything on the outwards would look good. They would go to where they needed to go at the right time. They would say the right thing. Everything on the outside looked good. And they would pull you up if you did something wrong. Often Jesus would say opposite to them, because inside there was no change of heart, there was no repentance, there was nothing that was going on inside. It was all a facade, it was all a new suit that they were wearing. And what Jesus is saying here, he's saying, just be careful. Be so careful, because like yeast is in bread, you put it in, and then you can't take it out because it gets into every fiber of the bread to make it grow and expand. And I did try to ask Katie what it actually does. And I'm sure she would have given me some technical term of chemicals and blowing up and all that kind of stuff. But Jesus is here telling us that don't be like them. Let it change inside. Not just the outside. Verse 13 says, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples. Now, before we go any further, I just want to kind of put into context. I was chatting to Lydia about this the other day. I love in Scripture how you have to dig a bit deeper, don't you, to find out what's going on. So as we started at verse 5, it says, when they came across the lake, okay? And now in verse 13, it says, when they came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. That's about 25 miles away, okay? So they're not in a car, they're walking. So you're talking a day or two's journey between verse 5 and verse 13, okay? Because they're walking hills, it's not good conditions. They're walking, they're talking about things. And then Jesus has just said this about the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees and how important it is. I would say there'd be other things, there'd be other conversations that they had. That's not just what it said. But this is the important stuff that is in Scripture that we are to read. So be so careful that you don't allow the world to affect your relationship with God. Don't allow the comments that the world says or other people say to affect your relationship with God. So they get to the place of Caesarea Philippi. So that area is known as a place of worship. But not as a place like we would see worship now in church. This is a worship of every God that is going on. Every God. In fact, the area was recently changed names because of it changing names over different worship of different gods. So this is Herod's son, Philip the Tetrarch, who changed the name. It used to be called Panius. But then they changed it to Caesarea Philippi in honor of Philip and Augustus Caesar, in honor of them, of worship of them. Prior to that, it used to be the worship of Pan, the god Pan. Prior to that, it used to be the worship of Baal. So they've just got to this area where there was possibly lots of gods, lots of images, lots of things that would show worship of these other gods and idols, and we read about Asherah's poles and all this kind of stuff that they worship. And then we get this conversation that Jesus is having with the disciples. Who do people say is the Son of Man? Who do people say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. What do the crowd say? What do the crowd say now? I just have to think about it. What does the world say who Jesus is? He's a good man? Yeah, he possibly the healing prophet. Yeah, he somebody in history. Yeah, he did some good stuff. Say a lot of different things. And I think Jesus here is saying, am I just going to be one of all these other gods? Is this stuff going to be happening in different towns that there'll be another shrine for me and there'll be this? Because all these other gods have been worshipped and yet they're so fickle that they keep changing onto these other gods. They reply on all these things, John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, and the prophets. But what about you? He asks, who do you say I am? And this is the crux of what I want to bring to you this morning. I'm not really bothered about who everybody else says. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? What is your relationship with Jesus? Because as I said as I started, depending on your relationship with God will be what you call him. It doesn't change who he is. Doesn't change what you said about me, who you said I am. You may say I'm nasty, you may say I'm lovely, you may say all sorts of things. I know who I am. And Jesus is who he is. And your relationship with him is so vitally important. Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're the Christ. Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. This was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. Who do you say he is? Who is Jesus in your life? Is he the Christ? Is he the Messiah? Is he Lord of your life? Because he wants to be. He wants to be. To ultimately die on that cross. To say, please forgive them, for they know not what they do. He took him to spread his arms out wide to tell you how much he loves you. In the book, Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis writes, I'm trying here to prevent anyone from saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus Christ. Well, I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. This is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level of a man who says that he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You cannot shut him up as a fool. You can spit at him. You can kill him as a demon. Or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that option open to us. He did not intend to. Who is Jesus to you? I'm just going to read a few scriptures of who Jesus says he is, and then what the people in scripture say he is. John 14:6, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 8:58, truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am. Instantly there, Jesus speaking about his divinity, that he always was, always is, and always will be. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life. He's the only way to get to God. So what do the people, what do the scriptures say about Jesus? 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking about Jesus. John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Philippians 2:8, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has exalted him above and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Acts 4:12, and there is salvation in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's just a few scriptures. There's loads more to say who Jesus Christ is. Who do you say he is? Does it affect every fiber of your being on a Monday morning, on a Tuesday afternoon, on a Wednesday evening? When that manager's shouting at you, are you able to respond in love and grace and patience and peace and kindness and all these amazing things that God gives us? Can I say you will respond depending on your relationship with Jesus?
You see, you would expect the King of England to act in a certain way. Wouldn't you? You wouldn't expect to see him in a pub in Sheffield getting drunk. Would you? You wouldn't expect it. And yet, we are a chosen people, a holy priesthood. We have robes of righteousness that God puts on us. Not that we've earned, not that we can do anything to gain, all because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Don't allow the yeast of the world, the yeast of the Pharisees and Sadducees and of Medihall and eBay and Amazon and all the stuff of the world, don't let that get in you and pollute your relationship with God. But look to the Word, the living Word. It proves itself to you. I'm going to read from Romans 8, verse 12. I'm reading from the Amplified Version because I just like how he puts it. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity to live according to the impulses of the flesh, our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if we are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you're going to die. But if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For we have not received a spirit of slavery leading again to a fear of God's judgment, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba Father. We can cry Daddy. We can cry Baba. We can cry Dad. To the one who speaks and things are created. That is the relationship that God wants us to have with him. But you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, the spirit producing sonship by which we joyfully cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies and confirms together with our spirit, assuring us that we believers are children of God. And if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his spiritual blessing and inheritance, if indeed we share in his suffering, that we may also share in his glory. Hallelujah. Wow. Wow. God wants to have this relationship with each and every one of you. And as I said, as I started, maybe this is just for one or two of you. That is how important God says you are. Because he will leave the 99 and come for the one. He will make sure that you know that you are special. He will make sure that you know that he died on the cross for you. And he would say your name. Just like I asked, who am I? He would come up to you and say, John, I died for you. Nkechi, I died for you. Jane, I died for you on that cross. I gave my life for you. Mary Jane, I did it for you. When I died on that cross, I did it with you in mind. He would look at you personally as a relationship and say, who do you say I am? Not, well, who do others say I am? It's a relationship. God is saying, Jesus Christ is saying, who do you say I am? Allow it to affect every fiber of your being. What does he say in the Ten Commandments? The biggest sin that we commit or the world commits is creating a God in their own image. Well, my God would never do that. that God is the God of the Bible. And you change anything from the Bible, it's not the God of the Bible. God loves you so much. Franco, can I ask the team to come back? I'm winding up. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? I've got a list together, and I often have this because I just love it. It kind of puts it all together. You've seen the video of That's My King, haven't you? I'm not going to play that, but that's a great video. That's My King. And he just lists everything of who God is to us. This is a similar list that just describes everything that Jesus Christ is to us. So who you think he is doesn't change who he is. Franco, you can just start playing on something. He's Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Holy One, Son of the Highest, Emmanuel, Lamb of God, Prince of Life, Lord God Almighty, Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Root of David, Word of Life, King of Kings, I Am, Lord of Lords, Advocate, the Way, the Truth, the Life, Dayspring, Lord of All, Messiah, Son of God, Savior, Shepherd and Bishop of our souls, Author and finisher of our faith, Chief Cornerstone, Righteous Judge, Light of the World, Morning Star, Head of the Church, Chief Shepherd, Resurrection and Life, Alpha and Omega. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can we stand, please? Thank you, Lord. Just as Franco's playing, I just want you to have that conversation with Jesus. Maybe he's asking you this morning, who do you say I am? Imagine just as I've asked John and people here, that Jesus is saying to you, who do you say I am? Am I the healer? Am I the provider? Am I the restorer? Am I the sustainer? Am I your savior? Am I your Lord? Who do you say I am? Who do you say Jesus is? Scripture says that the power that raised Christ from the dead is alive in you right now. If you have that relationship with Jesus, that power is alive in you right now. Can I say, if you don't know Jesus, then I hope I have introduced him to you this morning, and I've only just touched the surface. Please, whether online, whether in the overflow, wherever you are, please get to know Jesus. But get to know Jesus from Scripture. Get to know Jesus from what the Bible says. Don't look at other people in church. Oh, well, you ought to see him on a Monday morning. You ought to see her swearing in the week. Don't build your hope on other people. But build it on Jesus Christ, the solid rock, the chief cornerstone. Lord, we give all praise and glory to you. Lord, I say I surrender to you. Let me become less and you become more. If you can say that, then pray that prayer. Let me become less and you become more, Lord. Have your way in my life. Have your way in my family. Have your way in my neighborhood. Have your way in my city. God, I can't do it without you. Lord, reveal yourself more and more. If you're the one or two that don't know Jesus, then ask him, will you reveal yourself to me, Jesus? Will you show me who you are? Will you help me to understand the horridness of sin that separates me from you? Help me to give it to you, to lay it at the foot of the cross, to repent and put my faith and trust in you. Jesus, it's all about you. It's all about you, Jesus. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that you died on a cross for each and every one of us. We thank you that you rose again, that you are alive and active. Hallelujah. Holy Spirit, will you come and move amongst us? Continue to work in our lives. Help us not to be stubborn. Help us not to be proud. Help us not to be hard-hearted. Have your way, Lord. Amen. Thanks, Franco.